We're going to read God's word together. We're going to read from the book of John in the New Testament, John and chapter 10. The book of John and chapter 10. We're going to read the first 10 verses. Let's read God's word. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Please turn with me to the passage that Alex read for us from John and chapter 10. And keep it open. We're going to be looking at those first 10 verses as we go along. It's a funny little chapter. It has two different I am sayings, and we're hearing and learning about Jesus in his own words, the seven I am sayings across the Gospel of John. And here in this one chapter is "I am the gate," and the part that we didn't read right in the next verse, "I am the good shepherd." That'll be the next installment to whet your appetite. Come along next time at the good shepherd. But tonight, we're going to focus on "I am the gate." Now, many of us reading a passage like this, we are drawn to pictures of sheep and shepherding in the Bible. So perhaps you grew up working with sheep in Scotland, which would mean that that book by Ibby would be excellent for you. You're used to it. You know it. You've battled the wind and the rain while trying to help animals stay alive and flourish. It's hard, hands-on work, and we feel at home reading about this familiar imagery. But there are also probably elements of shepherding in the Bible that we aren't so familiar with here in Scotland. So in many parts of the world, shepherding is a tense and dangerous job to protect from thieves out to steal your livelihood. So our story today isn't as much to take something from the imagery of Countryfile on BBC One. It's not even like my brother's show on BBC Allapa in Lot. Just a little pitch there. He'll be happy if he's not listening. If he's listening. This isn't even Ocean's 11, where the robbers we read of are suave anti-heroes. This that we've read here is more like Line of Duty, a story full of corrupt authorities and bent coppers and organized crime groups. The words of Jesus here at the start of John chapter 10 comes hot off the heels of what happened in John chapter 9. We didn't read that, but the story goes like this. A man who has spent his whole life blind is healed by Jesus one morning. And then he is dragged into an investigation by the religious authorities of the day. And after hearing his evidence, instead of celebrating what has happened, the miracle that proves who Jesus is, and changing their view of Jesus, instead of that, they attack the man. They go after his family. They bully him. They throw him out, ostracizing him socially and economically. This doesn't lead to Jesus telling a nice story about sheep, something we're familiar with. It leads to Jesus telling an explosive piece of political satire against the prevailing authorities and leaders of the day. And looking first at verses 1 to 6. Here's our first heading summary, just to help you try and summarize those first six verses. Follow the voice of Jesus, not them. Psalm 23 is easily the most famous shepherd and sheep imagery in the Old Testament. They are precious and powerful words. But here in these opening verses, as much as we will come to Psalm 23, particularly next time looking at the Good Shepherd, there's a different Old Testament shepherd and sheep story at the forefront of Jesus' mind. And to an audience that would know their Bible, the words of Ezekiel 34 would come to mind. Ezekiel 34 is a turning point in the book of Ezekiel. Up until that point, Ezekiel has been preaching judgment on God's people, and he's been preaching about the destruction of Jerusalem. It's coming. But Ezekiel in this chapter talks about bad shepherds who take advantage of their people, their sheep, and they feed themselves, and they don't feed the sheep. But just when the people appear to be doomed, judged by God, led down the road by bad leadership, God promises in chapter 34 that when the Christ comes, when the servant comes, he will judge the bad shepherds and take over instead of them. He judges them. He says in chapter 34, I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. And he says, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will place over them one shepherd, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. Now, with that in mind, listen again to these opening words of Jesus. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters, the one who enters by the gate, is the shepherd of the sheep. Here you have the language of people being robbed, plundered, and the language of a shepherd. Off the back of how these Pharisees, these religious leaders, reacted to the healing of the blind man, Jesus calls out their self-interest and their corrupt claims to power. And so Jesus is saying that the high and mighty Pharisees are actually the corrupt, organized gang thieves, the robbers stealing from people, claiming power. And from Jesus' point of view, what do you do with culpably blind and abusive leaders? His answer, they are replaced with the true shepherd. So these verses, 1 to 6, as we read them, are an appeal to the crowds out there beyond the Pharisees. He is speaking judgment to the Pharisees. They are robbers, trying to steal the people, trying to steal the sheep. He's the shepherd, and his sheep will hear his voice and follow him. And these verses are an appeal to the crowd. Who are you going to follow? At the end of John 9, Jesus speaks to the blind man that he healed, and he asks him, do you believe in me? And the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. So in the terms of these opening words in John 10, this is a sheep. This healed blind man is a sheep. He has heard the voice of Jesus, and he has made a life altering decision. I will not follow the strangers who are not my true shepherd, who loves me and cares for me and tends to me. I will not follow my culture. I will not follow my family. I will not follow my leaders. I will not follow my government. I hear the voice of Jesus and I will follow him. That's what this man does. At the risk of everything else, he says, I believe, and he worships Jesus. Now, the leaders had made a choice as well. In John 9, after hearing the evidence of Jesus' power over the laws of nature to heal the blind, and after hearing from the blind man himself, they conclude, and they tell this man, we know this Jesus is a sinner. And in terms of what we're reading here in John chapter 10, these are the words of a robber. These are the words of corrupt people. These are the words of evil men. These are the words of liars. And they are caught in the act, these politicians, these leaders, trying to talk their way out of it. They're caught by the evidence that shows clearly Jesus healed this blind man. And they say, oh, it doesn't matter. We know this man is a sinner. We know Jesus is a sinner. He can't be good. And they use every piece of status and power and all their authority to make it look like Jesus is the one in the wrong. Even though it's clearly him that's doing good, they make it out that he's the one in the wrong. And the point is, these people are robbers. Jesus is telling this story so that people will see they're robbers. They're not on your side. They're out for themselves. And they will steal, kill, and destroy others to make themselves more powerful, more happy, more wealthy, more in control. And so right at the outset, John intends for these words to help us choose Jesus. Partly because it pushes people into thinking that there is no such thing as a neutral, undecided middle. There is only a choice. You can't follow the voice of a robber, even if he makes himself out to be a shepherd. You can only listen to the voice of a true shepherd and find life. That choice is made even plainer when you consider what following Jesus actually means. And that's what verses 7 to 10 unfold. Follow Jesus for full life. Verse 7, he explains, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. The contrast is all about destinations. What happens if you follow me? What happens if you can go in and out of this door? Verse 8, all who come before me are thieves and robbers, meaning the ruling establishment, the influential voices, the Pharisees of the day. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep have not listened to them, he says. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Now, this is drawing from one of the other famous shepherd and sheep passages in the Old Testament. In Numbers 27, Moses, nearing the end, asks God for a leader to take over from him. And he says, may the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoints someone over this community, over the people of God, to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. And in response, God says, take Joshua. He will be the next leader. Now, some of you might know that the name Joshua is the same name as Jesus. The Hebrew name Jesus is the same name as Yeshua. It means Joshua in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament. It means Yahweh saves. And that's the verb Jesus puts into verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. In John 10, Jesus is pitching to be Moses' replacement. I'll be your Yeshua. I'll be your Jesus. I'll be your Savior. God will save you. I am the gate you need, and I'll take you where you need to go. Now, the gate part of the illustration, it probably and perhaps focuses on the act of choosing. When the man born blind knelt down on the street and worshipped Jesus, announcing that he believes in Jesus, he wasn't just changed. It's not that he just had a changed mind intellectually. He has crossed a threshold. He has gone as if through a gate, a door. Life will never be the same again. He made a choice to put Jesus as his Savior, to believe and to worship and to follow the one who saves him. That choice was as clear to him as stepping through a gate. No going back. I'm in. I'm with you. I'm all in with you, Jesus, because Jesus saves. And verse 10 makes it clear the contrast of what he will find on the other side of the door. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. Make a decision on me. Come to me. I am the gate. I am the choice you need to make. There's no other choice more important than this. I am the choice, Jesus says, that you need to make. And with me is life. A life to the full. There is a contrast. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. You know, every time I used to go home, my brother would force me to help him with the sheep. But I wasn't their shepherd. Maybe only home a couple of times a year. He'd force me down the croft and they wouldn't listen to me. There's nothing more frustrating. They wouldn't listen to me. They wouldn't follow me. Nothing. So if I wanted to lure them anywhere, I needed a bucket of food to entice them along. I'm pretty sure that if a thief is climbing over the wall to grab some sheep, I bet he'll be enticing them with some food too. Come here. You know, he's got a little bag of food. He's going to throw it into as you do. If you want a sheep to come closer to the fence where you are or nearer to the hurdle, you might put a few pellets of food right there into grabbing distance. No point in trying to stumble around in the dark to try and grab a sheep. They can be quite nimble. You lure them and entice them. You grab them, throw them in the sack, and you're gone. The guy climbing over the wall does not have the lamb's best interests at heart. Even if he's using some food, oh, this looks nice, thinks the sheep. But he's grabbed them because he's a thief. And he'll slit the lamb's throat and put it in a pie. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. If you follow Jesus, you get the opposite of what this thief would do to you. He is Jesus Christ, the gate of life and life to the full. What is this life to the full? Well, we can come and read Psalm 23. These words of John 10:10 are, you know, they're not the promise of an easy life. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. You are still going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Life is still going to be tough. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be highs and lows. There's going to be mountaintops and there's going to be a lot of valleys. When Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and life to the full, that doesn't mean you're going to have an easy life. Every Christian here already can tell you now that it's not an easy life. Plenty of valleys. But you go to Psalm 23 and you read what the shepherd does for you. Even as you walk through the valleys, he gives you life and life to the full. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jesus is life to the full. It's not that he gives you loads of stuff. It's not that God doesn't promise us that you're going to have a family, you're going to have kids, you're going to have a great career, you're going to have an easy life, you're going to have a lovely time. Look at the blind man. Look at the valley. As soon as he worships Jesus, as soon as he interacts in any way with Jesus and comes to know Jesus, as soon as he is helped by Jesus on one level, he is attacked. He's a sheep that doesn't have an easy time. He's dragged to court on his very first day of following Jesus. His relationship with his parents take a knock as they're contemplating saying that we don't even know this man. He's left with this preacher from Galilee wondering what's next in life. Some of you have taken some nasty knocks in life. The valleys have come thick and fast. Where is God? Where is this life to the full? It's right beside you. You don't need to fear any evil that's coming your way because the shepherd is with you. He is the one point of access to eternal safety and security. He is the only gateway to pastures that you can enjoy to your soul's content even when you are in your struggles, even when you are in the valley, because he is with you. He's got the food. Even if there are no green pastures around you, he'll have a bag full of pellets for you. He is with you. His power and sovereignty over all things are the comfort of our souls. His goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. With Jesus, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heaven will be yours forever and fully. And so here lies an ironclad guarantee. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. And your choice is robbers or Jesus. And that gate is your choice. And whoever enters through him will be saved. They say that the gates of sheep pens back then were just open gaps protected by a gatekeeper. This gate is wide open for all of you and any of you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how much you've rejected Jesus, this gate is wide open. No matter the thoughts in your head, even right now, thoughts of rejection, rebellion, adultery, evil, whatever it might be, the gate's wide open. But you've got to go through Jesus. The offer of life and life to the full is found only in believing in Jesus as your Yeshua, your Savior. And so now let's bring this a bit closer to home. Because I said at the first point, follow Jesus, not them. trying to summarize what Jesus was saying to his audience at the time. Don't listen, crowds, don't listen, people, don't listen to these religious leaders. They are robbers. They don't have your best interests at heart because they are trying to steal you away from me. And I am the one. I am the choice you need to make. I am the one who came to give you life. If they trusted and believed in God, they would know I came from God. They would worship me too. Don't let them steal you away from me, Jesus says. So today, now, tonight, there are many different voices that this could all apply to. Lots of different voices that are trying to steal you away from making a choice, from walking through the door and through that gate to choose Jesus, choose life. Well, this still speaks to the Jewish people today. It would still be better if they abandoned their rabbis and followed their Yeshua instead. And this point from Jesus also speaks all around the world to any and every religion and religious leaders, particularly the ones that hold political power and hold influence over people. Like in many parts of the world where Islam holds power, they will not give way to Jesus. To them, he is not the gate. And so they threaten and they persecute other points of view. But this point also applies to us in working through whose voices am I listening to in spiritual matters. A lot of you read books and listen to preachers online and watch things on TV and listen to podcasts and you visit churches around the world. How am I able to tell what leaders and preachers are leading me, showing me the right gate? How am I able to tell who are actually thieves or even wolves dressed like shepherds? Well, maybe they're pushing the whole life to the full now idea, enticing you with promises and thoughts that God will give you everything you ask for now, especially if you give money to them. Or just think of the leaders that put the focus and the attention on them as they gain influence and money and attention and fame. Or is the focus on Jesus? These people don't have your best interests at heart. They are robbers taking, taking, taking. Wolves dressed as shepherds that all over the world are taking, taking, taking from the flock of God's people. Empty promises. They're quite clearly robbers when they're accumulating wealth and jets and everything else. But who are the voices in our lives that are putting the attention on them, trying to accumulate control and influence over you? Or who's pointing you to Jesus? Who's robbing you? Or who's taking you to the gate of life? But Jesus' analysis also applies to the modern secular ideas that behave in exactly the same way. And it's just to ask again, what voices are leading my life, stealing me away from Jesus? What are the voices in your life? Are my desires getting twisted up through all the advertising, all the stories, all the songs, all the comparisons that I see with my coworkers or as I unhelpfully just keep scrolling through Instagram and TikTok, voice after voice after voice that makes me feel as if I'm missing out on life to the full if I don't get this car or that house or that career or go towards and do this and that, whatever it might be. We get twisted all up and it steals us away from life in Jesus, contentment in Jesus. Every few years, there's a popular new wave of new thinking that becomes impressed on people, especially the younger generations, demanding sheep-like obedience, as if this is the good and loving thing to think. So just look at the way things trend on social media, views on life and gender, and sexuality, things that actually ultimately twist minds and harm people physically. Voices that tell us that real life is expressing out whatever is inside of you and living out your feelings, being true to your inner self. These are the voices I've grown up with. And I've got to work through how are they messing with my mind? How are they, and what are the many different ways they've dragged me and robbed me away from Jesus. And any teenagers here tonight, these are the voices you're hearing. They are. And they're powerful voices. But they're robbers. In fact, don't you dare try and think or say anything different. That's when you'll see what they're really like. They're the new Pharisees. There's so much pressure to agree. It seems to feel right and good, but they talk about love and there's so much hatred. They will take and destroy, just like the robbers in Jesus' story. They make themselves out to be the leading voices, the people to listen to, like the Pharisees in this story, but they are robbing you away, stealing you away from life. But there is an open gate. None of those voices lead to life, full life. You listen to those voices and it'll lead to death. However they entice you, however they grab you, if you reject Jesus, if you avoid that open door, that open offer of Jesus' death paying for all of your sin and Jesus' life and his shepherding love to be with you forever and ever. If you say no, you'll be an outsider. You won't be with Jesus in the sheep pen. I also talked about what it means to be an outsider of God's people. If you stay outside of Jesus, one day you will be fully outside later. Fully outside of Christ is hell. Because you'll be outside of love, outside of peace, outside of security, outside of joy. You will only know hate and fear and insecurities and wailing. That's what the robbers, these voices, are leading you to. But if you make the decision, like that blind man, you go through that open door to believe in Jesus and worship him as your Savior and your Shepherd, it means you have life now and life, full life later. Inside with Christ, in the sheep pen, means full love. Someone who loves you so much he died for you. Who else can love you like that? It means full security. No one can pluck you from his hand. Not even death can beat Jesus and what he's done for you. You are unconquerable. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. It means full peace, no matter the valleys, no matter the struggles, no matter whatever this life might knock at you. You have Jesus. You are safe. You can breathe. And we can have full joy. Because we have a victory that can cause us to sing no matter what is happening today and a joy, because we know that even when the struggles are battering us and this life is awful, the grief, the scars, one day we will be fully inside with Jesus. Inside means full security, full joy forever. No one else gives you the eternal security to begin to help with your insecurities now. And we all have insecurities. No one else can actually forgive you and cleanse you from all your sin. No one else gives you the eternal love and peace we all yearn for. No one else can give you heaven, life, and life to the full. He's the gate. He is the only choice you need to make. So who will you follow? What voices will you listen to? Any voice that will steal you away from Jesus? Or do you see the open gate? I am the gate to life and life to the full, he says. Will you walk through, however young, however old, will you walk through and worship the shepherd? Amen.